Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Howdy, hour number two, coming alive for the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way. Help provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Monday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So, I'm trying to figure out if I got hustled today. I don't think I did, but I'm trying to figure this out. I'm not saying I'm the coolest guy, but I don't think I get hustled that much, but I may be in the process of getting hustled by my lawn guy. Finally have a lawn guy. Finally have a home, right? We talked about it when we were building it. It was all the turns, and it's come out great, thankfully, and we're past that. And we got Joe Johnson coming up in a minute or so. So it rained literally for five straight days in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. So, obviously, you can't cut the grass. You know, that's why you can't take carts when you play golf and it's too wet because you skid and you rip up the grass, et cetera. And, gentleman, great guy. Really a nice guy. Works hard. Great crew. And so far, you know, happy with the work. So, he's out there today. He texted me, hey, you know, listen, Brandon, and I'm going to come out. They were going to come out every Thursday or Friday, depending upon the weather. We're not going to come out this week. It's too wet. We'll be there first thing Monday. What do you know? Getting the kids cereal, 7 o'clock this morning. Lawnmower's going. I'm like, okay, nice. So then I walk out and say hi to him, and I had a question about one thing. And he said, we'll see you Thursday or Friday. And I said, well, why would I see you Thursday or Friday? It's Monday. You're doing it once a week. And he said, we were off schedule because of the rain. And I said, I just see you Monday. I'm like, I'm saying to myself, why am I going to pay you, you know, twice in one week? And he's like, well, and again, great guy. And I'm saying this smiling clearly. But he's like, we want to stay on schedule. We want to keep a proper rhythm for the law. And I'm saying, does this guy think I'm dumb? Like, he just wants to come back and get the extra Scott Olds, the extra day. Right, Diesel? That's what it sounds like.
So, yes, you're getting played, but also, no, you're not getting played. This is a common practice in that industry.
How do you know?
Well, when I was younger, I had a big transition of my dad and my mom having a lawn service come to Tom, you're doing it.
Okay.
And that was part of the reason why that as anybody does in any industry, people want to get paid.
Yeah.
So when they get off schedule because of weather and whatnot, so this is not just your guy doing this like a one-off.
So it's a universal hustle.
Correct.
Okay, I feel a little bit better about that. That means Tiki somewhere along the way has been universally hustled by the grass guys. Okay, I can deal with that. I mean, it's because it's like if you don't know anything about cars, you know, and if you don't lease or and you have to get something fixed with your car and there's no warranty, they can conceivably say, oh, yeah, that'll be $3,700. For what? I don't know. I can't prove you wrong. Or like the plumbing or the HVAC. It's a big job. It's going to be $5,000. You could say $50,000. How do I refute that? I have no idea. This guy can say, for the integrity of the lawn, it's imperative that we come back on 3 days from now to make sure that the nutrient. What? All right, come back. Whatever. Ah, God. All right, so Albert Pujols. I have a question. I'm gonna let this marinate for a second. No, not too long, and I'll go around the room, and then I want you to think about this in your car, at your workstation, at home if you're watching this on the tube, whatever, in a bar. Is Albert Pujols the greatest Cardinal of all time? Okay. Diesel, what do you think?
All time, no. Certainly the greatest Cardinal I've seen.
Okay.
In the grand scheme of limited baseball that I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like you're 12 years old. It's a couple of decades.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're not a devout, ardent baseball fan, you know the game. And Santer a little bit older. Started watching the game, you know, young Ozzie Smith. You saw at least not young, but younger. What do you think? Is Albert Pujols the best Cardinal of all time?
It's really hard. before
See, I don't think it's hard at all.
Before I started doing the research on it, I probably would have said yes, because those 11 years in St. Louis were as good as any right-handed hitter I've ever seen, maybe outside of Trout.
Yep.
And you look at Bob Gibson's numbers, obviously pitcher versus batter, it's a little bit different.
Sure.
He was great. I'd put them on par, maybe Pujols a little bit higher, but it's close. But then when you go back and look at Stan the Man's
there
numbers, I mean, it's not, I mean,
there
as good as Pujols was, as dominating as he was, usual, like, you know how you always look at reference and you always try to look at, like, how many times they led the league in certain categories?
Yeah.
I cannot even count.
Yeah, there's a lot of, there's
I
a
mean,
lot of
there's
got to
be 30 of them.
I think
OPS,
you know,
batting average, home runs, everything.
There's more than 30. I almost want to count these just to see. Let's see. You ready? Yeah, you count them up, because that'll take too much time. That'll be the whole segment. Count them up, Mike. You know what, though? Don't waste your time on games, plate appearances, or at-bats. I mean, that's obviously a function of being healthy. I want to, you know, runs, hits, OPS, war, OPS plus, slugging, all those things. Like the pertinent RBI, whatever. There's a lot of bold. I mean, Stan Musial is the answer. And that's not to knock Albert Pujols, because I said last hour, you know, Albert Pujols, you almost don't want to use the word deserved, because, God, there's so many people in this world, independent of sport, that really, truly do deserve better than some of the cards they've been dealt. I mean, that's just a fact of life. You can apply that to, unfortunately, a million aspects. But pertaining to baseball, Albert Pujols deserved to go yard in St. Louis this weekend. Albert Pujols deserved to stand at the top step of that dugout and take off that helmet and soak in the adulation from some of the best baseball fans in the world. And I'll take it a step further. You know, Yankee fans are going to get on me for this. I think they're the best fans. I think Cardinal fans are the best. Cardinal fans, they strike that incredible balance of, number one, being engaged. And not only engaged when they're good, always engaged. Well, first you have to be there, and they're present. And then when you're there, you have to be engaged, and they are. They're acute, and obviously Yankee fans have this too, as do Dodger fans and Giant fans and Cub fans and a lot of teams. I'm sure I omitted a few. But they have an acute awareness of history. So you got to go. You got to be into it. You got to know your history. You got to know the game. And Cardinals fans are great. You know, what he got over the weekend was a culmination of a career, with all due respect, falls short to Stan Musial. Now, maybe if Albert Pujols didn't leave, although there was obviously a drop-off in his numbers when he went to the Angels, and we know that's obvious. But you also have to factor in Stan the Man missed one full season, which, by the way, was a season fewer than a lot of the stars of that generation. World War II, this little thing called World War II was going on, didn't play in 1945. Didn't play. So, Mike, you counted up all the numbers. What do you have?
So, if you're looking at hits, runs, doubles, triples, home runs, RBI, stolen bases, walks, batting average, OPS, on-base slugging, like the main categories.
Sure.
53.
I knew it was a lot more than 30.
If you want to add total bases, it's like...
Oh, total bases. Whoa. Total bases might be the actual most important stat.
Well, so I put OPS and slugging on there, which kind of is a little bit redundant with total bases.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, 53 categories. And that's, like you said, missing 1945 and three MVPs from 1943 to 51.
Mm.
He was first, fourth, first, 20th, first, second, second, second in MVP voting.
I'm looking at that. Yeah, that string into the early 50s when he had... He was basically Phil Mickelson at the U.S. Open for a little while. I mean, three straight second place MVP finishes. And before that, two of the previous 3 years, he won the MVP. And he also won one a couple of years before that. You know, there's a reason why, and if you listen to the show a lot, you've heard me reference, you know, my idol all time is Don Mattingly, of course. And I always say Don Mattingly was a modern Stan Musial before his back went out. That's always the comparison that I give. Because Mattingly, when Donnie came up, you know, not to take you on this history lesson, you know, it's probably more interesting to me than you, but before he actually got hurt, you know, batting title, 84, 85 wins the MVP, 86 should have won the MVP, Roger Clemens won it, he finished second, 87, eight straight games with home runs. He broke the record that Griffey eventually. So, I mean, there was this run, Gold Glove, hitting 340, basically, with 35 bombs, 50 doubles, and 130, or 1 year, 145 RBIs. That's Stan Musial. You know, Stan had better wheels, I think. I don't know how much Stan. I don't think Stan ran a ton. I got to check. I don't think he ran a lot.
His most stolen bases in the year
digits,
was
all
nine.
All single digits. No, yeah. He didn't have wheels either. Which gets me to this. I wanted to at least throw this in as well. So I saw something on. Oh, you know what it was? I was setting my fantasy lineup today. Buster Posey. I should have never drafted him. Once he asked off my my radio show in San Francisco, I should have said that's it. I'm done. He's baseball wise, he's dead to me. But I needed a catcher. Had a couple of beers and maybe kind of forgot about the draft, and I was in a pinch and I needed a catcher. So I said, all right, Posey might hit 15 home runs, hit 290, whatever. Buster Posey has had a terrific career by every account, but he's starting to really languish. I mean, he's had some concussions, and Buster Posey to me raises a very interesting question or debate. Like, I look at somebody like Buster Posey. He's got 136 home runs, relatively. I know his catcher, a little bit of a different standard for sure, but, I mean, that's a minuscule number. Granted, tough ballpark, but still, 136? I mean, Thurman Munson trailed off at the end for sure before he perished in 1979, early August, the plane crash. But even if you look at Thurman's numbers, Thurman was, with all due respect, finished being, I believe, being a dominant player. It was more the symbolism, the captaincy, the grit, and all that stuff. Posey, here's where it gets complex. Like, the Giants have three World Series. Now, they weren't necessarily dynastic because it wasn't like the A's of the early 70s or the Big Red Machine or the Yankees, the most recent Yankee, you know, 96, 98, 99, 2000. They weren't that because they had so many different pieces. The only real common parts, you know, Pablo had the one game with three bombs, which was incredible. But it was Posey, it was Madison Bumgarner, and Bruce Bochy. And I guess I really came to what I think is a really fun discussion, and I wanted to get you guys involved in this at 1-855-212-4227. The ability to quantify, and this is what the Hall of Fame is all about, proving and delivering statistics and either accepting them or refuting somebody's candidacy based on those numbers. And, like, I look at Posey and I'm saying, all right, I know for a couple of years he was the best catcher in the game. Well, one of them, absolutely one of them, if not one, two. Power, you know, leadership behind the plate, three championships, rookie of the year, MVP. And based on Madison Bumgarner's numbers, he's not a Hall of Famer. Bruce Bochy is a Hall of Famer because he also took the Padres to the World Series too. Lost to my Yankees, but took him there. And as a manager, he will get in. But I guess independent if you're a Giants fan, of course you're going to say yes. But if you're not a Giants fan, you're just kind of weighing in objectively. I think this applies for the Yankee teams too, like Paul O'Neill, I love Paul. He's not a Hall of Famer. Tino Martinez is not a Hall of Famer. From that team, it's Jeter and it's Mariano. Birdie Williams, now some people will fight me tooth and nail on this. Number 51, switch hitter, Bauer, could run, graceful center fielder, although a little overrated, didn't have a good arm. In the outfield, overrated. But clutch, doesn't have Hall of Fame numbers. Some Yankee fans think he's a Hall of Famer. He's not. The numbers say that he's not. So those Yankee teams only have two players represented in the Hall of Fame, the shortstop and the closer. Pettit's not a Hall of Famer. Well, Clemens is, but Clemens was on so many different teams and steroids and all that. And I guess the question, and this is what I want to get, and I'm going to take a break. I'm going to get calls on this. Is it more important about the symbolism for Cooperstown, or is it more important about just the things that you could truly prove? Because if it's the latter, then the Giants, for three championships, encompassing a little less than a decade, three, not one, LeBron, not two, not three, three. How do you win three World Series, three, and not have any player in the Hall of Fame? But based on the numbers, that's what they're staring at. 1-855-212-4227. So I guess I ask you, are you evolving and maybe modernizing your view and tweaking it from being solely statistically driven, all right, to maybe a little bit of both. Get some calls on this. I'm curious how you answer it. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. I mean, if there was ever a league made for this guy, it is this guy. Wait, did that make sense? That didn't make sense. I think you know what I mean. Wait, if there was ever a guy made for this league, it's this guy. I think that's it. Joe Johnson, who was a terrific pro, just a professional scorer, ISO Joe, seven-time All-Star, 20,000-plus points in the NBA, incredible. Played for some good teams, played in a couple of different markets. We'll get his thoughts on the free agency, but also his first year now in the Big Three, and he knocked in the game winner. He scored 27 yesterday as the triplets took out the aliens. That he's with me here on Tiki and Tierney minus Tiki. Joe, what's up, buddy? How are you today?
I'm all right. How you guys doing?
I'm good, man. Are you sore? I mean, I know you're in good shape, but I don't. It's hard to simulate. I think it might be hard to simulate getting after it as hard as you guys did yesterday. How's Joe feeling today?
I feel good, but it is hard to simulate, like the bump and grind. You know, fighting through picks and battling down low. You can't necessarily simulate that, but all in all, I feel pretty good.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one thing. First of all, the pace of the Big Three is tremendous. I mean, just the whole in-arena vibe, the music. Obviously, Cube has a great business model, and he surrounded himself with smart people. But what I really like is that the refs let you play a little bit. They let you bang. Finally, it's like the old-school NBA, Joe.
Yeah, definitely. They definitely let us play. It was definitely very physical. But, man, I enjoyed the whole ordeal, so I look forward to next weekend.
It's awesome, man. So this is your first year. Next weekend is week two, of course, on CBS and CBS Sports Network. And it's amazing. You know, it wasn't that long ago. You were in that 2010 free agent class with Amari and LeBron and all the big names. Boozer, I believe, was there, right? I think Carlos Boozer was part of that. How much the league has changed here, Joe, to me? The attention, the focus, and really the conversations that occur after the season ends is amazing. Are you surprised to see just how much the NBA's grown? It's incredible.
No, I'm not surprised. I think guys are, you know, really knowing and understanding that in order to win a title or win a championship, that you have to pair up with a guy, too. That's just kind of how it is in this day and age. You know, I'm looking forward to free agency just as well as you guys are.
Yeah, it's incredible. Let me ask you this. If you were Kevin Durant, all right? Now, I know you might not know exactly what he feels, say, about the medical staff in Golden State, or does he really want to try to tackle someplace like New York? But I guess just from an injury point of view, if you were Durant, and, you know, that Achilles is no joke, as we know, and, you know, you're not playing next year, what would you do? Would you opt in and rehab? How would you handle that? Because it's such a unique circumstance for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, it's very unique. To be honest with you, man, I honestly did not know. I tried to put myself in his shoes.
Yep.
It's tough, man, because, you know, all in all, you know you're not going to play next season, but it just kind of depends on what's his preference or what he's looking forward to, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I was talking to Joe Johnson, seven times All-Star and 20,000-plus points, part of the Big Three, captain. Got a win yesterday for the triplets. He's with me here on Tiki and Tierney. I'll tell you what, man. I look at two of your former teams, Joe, and two of them are going in the right direction. I know you still follow the league entirely, but specifically the Hawks with their young players and the Nets, who are facing some tough situations, or tough decisions, I should say. Are you a little surprised? Let me go to the Hawks first, Joe. Are you a little surprised that Trae Young got it as quickly as he did? I know he can shoot, but I thought he was going to have to put on a little weight. But the last, say, second half of the season, he was an All-Star. I mean, he was great. Are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised because he knows how to play, man. When you watch a guy play, you look at his instincts, how he passes, knowing when to pass, and making the right plays. And he's done that since I've been watching. So I think what had to happen for Trey was just him to get his confidence as far as scoring and shooting the basketball. And once he got that, it was a wrap.
It's incredible. I mean, he look at the numbers. I mean, for those who aren't sure, just go to CBSSports.com. Trey Young was a beast the second half. And then there's Brooklyn. And I know you had a few other stops, obviously. But, you know, the Brooklyn Nets are a team. You know, they've got a lot of money, and there's a lot of thoughts. They go for Kyrie. Maybe Kyrie brings Durant and all these possibilities, D'Angelo Russell. What was it like playing for the Nets? Do you like it?
Oh, man, I loved it.
You did?
You know, I did. I really did. I really loved it. I never, ever imagined me playing in New York, but Brooklyn was great. It was obviously new, and, man, they embraced us so well. I really enjoyed that part of it. The fans was great. Organization was great, so I look for them to get back on the right track.
Oh, there's no doubt they're coming. And listen, as you play as long as you did, and you play for a couple of teams, you know you're going to cross paths with a lot of names. So I could even throw this by you. I'm very curious how you answer this. I'll talk to Joe Johnson. You played for Coach D'Antoni, Mike D'Antoni, and you know I love Mike and his offensive innovation, but I wonder if you think that there comes a time here, Joe, where you know, maybe it's expired a bit. Maybe the league's caught up. Do you think that Mike can win a championship? Because, with all due respect, I'm not so sure that he can. I mean, I'm on the record as that, and a lot of people tend to agree with me. Can Mike D'Antoni's system win a championship?
Yeah, I think he can win a championship, and I think it's been some unfortunate circumstances the past couple of years. Because believe it or not, I think if Durant played, that they probably would have won because it wouldn't unleash Curry the way it did.
Interesting. But, that's interesting. Well, not many people say that. That's interesting, Joe.
Yeah, that's what I think. Because they played a lot of isolation ball against Houston.
Yep.
Because Durant was virtually unstoppable. So Curry never would have got off the way he did if Durant was out there. That's just my opinion. But, yeah, I think their year is coming up. You know, I know there's a lot of rumors around, but if they're able to keep their team together and come back, you know, next season, you know, who knows what happens.
All right. Let me leave it at this here. Joe Johnson, 20,000-plus NBA points, and already 1 week into his big three stint, he's ripping it up, and he's one of the favorites to win the MVP. Dropped it almost 30 yesterday in the win for the triplets. So I asked George Gervin this on Saturday night. I asked the Iceman. I said, all right, you get to pick two teammates. You didn't have to play with them. They could be older, you know, now, whatever. And that you can stack up and play 3-on-3 with and play anybody in the world. And I'm not going to tell you his answers until you tell me yours. Joe Johnson gets to pick two all-time 3-on-3 teammates. Who are you picking?
All-time 3-on-3 teammates.
Now you got to be strategic here, Joe.
Well, I'm gonna go with some of my two favorites, my two favorite guards, and they're big guards, and that's Michael Jordan and Penny Hardaway.
Penny, oh, and healthy. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I say those guys because, I mean, MJ was 6'6", but Penny's about 6'8", 6'9", and you can switch everything, and both of them can post up. So that's the thing in the big three. You got to have a guy who can go down there and get you a foul or a bucket.
Yeah, that's true. Good to see Greg Oden back. I know he's a little rusty, but he's back in the league, and I think we're all rooting for him. The kid McDonald is an absolute – he didn't play in the NBA. He's an absolute load. They list him at 280. There's no way that kid's 280, McDonald. By the way, Iceman said Magic Johnson and Kareem. Got the skyhook and the great assist man, Magic. What do you think of those?
Yeah.
You're right with that?
I like him. I think with Kareem, they'll probably just put him in pick and roll. Obviously, his offense – you know, would be probably unstoppable, but a big guy, you know, they just going to put him in pick and roll and make you switch or make you make a decision.
Oh, you can't make Kareem look bad. You can't abuse the big man. Are you going to put him on an island and cross him up and get him on skates and make it? You're going to abuse poor Kareem that way. We can't do that to Kareem.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do, man.
I got you.
Trying to win.
I hear you. Well, listen, one game, one win, 27 points. Welcome to the big three. I'll be seeing you down the road throughout the season. Thanks a lot, Joe. Appreciate it, man. And congrats on a great NBA career.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
You got it. Joe Johnson in the house. Penny and MJ. Interesting. I wouldn't have thought that it would have said Penny, but it is easy. to forget how great he was. I mean, before his knees started going, I've said this on the show before, Penny Hardaway was truly a magician. He was off the conveyor belt. He was from the basketball factory, and he got stamped at every single aspect. Length, burst, intelligence, handle, vision. I mean, he was great. Mike, who would you go with? Well, you would have to pick three because you'd have to be the coach. Because, you know, if we put you out there with two,
I can jam.
You're gonna
give
lose.
Me a trampoline.
Give me three names again, then we'll get the update from Ack. Or in D-Cell, if you have a few too. Give me three names you'd love to see play together in 3-on-3.
MJ, LeBron, and KD? Magic?
All right. I have to have two guys I have to have on the same team. I have to have LeBron, and I have to have Larry Bird play together. I've got to see with two guys. Now, the other guy's got to be an absolute dead-eye shooter because, you know, LeBron could get a little chilly from outside. But I've got to see them pass, and I've got to see them on the same team in the same space, see things that nobody else on the court seeing. Can you imagine a Bird and LeBron? Oh, my, that would be incredible. All right, let's get the update from Mac. We got football at the 40s, and we'll also get back to the posy slash symbolism or statistical aspect of the Hall of Fame. If you miss it, I'll briefly reset it a bit later, but Ack's update is coming at you right now. Here's Ack. All right, football at the 40s coming up in a sec here on Teak and Tierney. First up, time now for Doing More, brought to you by the Home Depot. Next generation of home improvement, everything you need to do Project Smarter. It's the Home Depot, more saving, more doing. As we take a look at a player who's doing a whole lot for his team, how about Pirates outfielder Brian Reynolds? Hit safely in 8 of 9, and his average has jumped to .362 on the season. Two more hits and a couple of the ribbies yesterday in the Pirates' 11-10 win over the Padres. And Reynolds right now is on pace to finish the season right around 400 at bats, and if he does that, he's putting himself in a new position to be in consideration for the National League batting title. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. Teak is out and could be back Friday. Definitely will be back Monday. I was in transit, and I watched. Yeah, I did. I definitely watched some of the women's today, the win, 2-1. Mike, how much of the women's soccer did you get? Did you actually get a chance to get immersed in the flow of the game?
From this afternoon?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was tough because I was prepping a lot for the show, but I was watching, and I did see both goals. I missed Spain's goal, but I saw our goal.
That was the first goal we gave up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And Spain is like 15th in the world, so I thought it would be a little bit less of a challenge, but they really
put the screws to us. Yeah, and I was curious. That's why I used the term flow.
It was a lot more even than I thought.
Okay,
Spain had possession of the ball a lot more than I expected them to.
Right.
And had more chances than I thought they would. But we still controlled the pace.
Okay.
But not as dominating as I thought we would be.
All right. Interesting. All right, let's get the football at the 40s. Here we go.
Love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
So we talked a lot a couple weeks ago about the apparent rift between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, not letting him make audibles or call plays at the line.
Uh-huh.
Seems like Brett Favre is weighing in and quite simply just says, I think you have to let Aaron play his game and not disturb that very much.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see if that happens. Do you think that it starts out with LaFleur trying to take control and then giving in, or vice versa, if Rodgers isn't picking up the offense well enough?
Yep.
Who do you think wins out at the end, not at the beginning?
Well, who wins out? It's always, Aaron Rodgers is always going to win out. It's a fascinating summer conversation, and it's going to be a daily topic of conversation in the great state of Wisconsin and the surrounding cities. We're on in Milwaukee. You know, I mean, listen, it's not going away. Let me first get to Brett Favre here. I understand what he's saying because part of the freelance is what makes Aaron Rodgers great. I mean, it's like having a great point guard and saying, hey, you know what? Forget about the grease board. Just go break them down, get to the rim, or get a couple of foul shots. Just go do what you do. And we see when Westbrook does that, and he's unstoppable. We've also seen Westbrook freelance and go 4-for-23 to the detriment of his team. Now, Aaron Rodgers' efficiency is not necessarily comparable to, you know, Westbrook's efficiency, who's a horrendous three-point shooter, or at least he was this year. But I think that Brett Favre is half right. I get it. You want to use every facet of a player's toolbox, and part of Aaron Rodgers' skill set is his brain. But how many titles does Aaron Rodgers have? Just asking. He's got one. How many titles does Brett Favre have? He's got the same. He's got one. So I wonder if Brett Favre played with a little more restraint, as great as Brett Favre was, would Brett Favre had two? Maybe. Now, Aaron Rodgers, I think, is better than Brett Favre, and I think that the team around him has not been built up, and that's not on Aaron Rodgers, but I do believe that there's something to be said for playing somewhat within the restraints of the offense. Now, to answer you directly about who wins the power or how should LaFleur handle this, Mike, to me, there's only one way for him to handle this. If he doesn't assert himself early and establish a clear line and a clear directive of what he expects from his quarterback, granted, a guy who's making $30-something million a year, there's no way he can go back to it. It's like, and I use this analogy, guy, I have little kids. It's like letting your kids do whatever the hell they want. And then all of a sudden they go to high school and you expect them to be perfect. No, they're probably going to be stealing the keys for the car. God forbid, going into the liquor cabinet. I mean, where did I get those examples from? I was just wondering. But the point is, you got to have rules. And that goes for a rookie coach, even with a Hall of Famer. I don't fully agree with Brett Favre.
I'm guessing those examples came from experience of some sort.
Yeah,
not from you, maybe movies.
Saw it in a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Movies. License to Drive with Corey. Which
Feldman,
Corey was that?
I think that was Corey Feldman.
No, I think it was Corey Haim. Corey Haim?
Haim.
Corey Haim. Which is the one that dated Nicole Eggert? Corey Haim. Yeah, it's Corey
Haim. Yeah, Corey Feldman was the one from
Corey
Stand
Feldman
By Me.
Corey Haim is still alive, right. And Corey Haim, unfortunately.
Corey Feldman had the glasses. Corey Haim had the spiked hair. You're right.
Corey Haim had Nicole Eggert is what the lead on the resume should
say.
Yeah,
Charles is in charge there.
That's right.
So number two here, Lincoln Riley. All the rumors about the OU head coach. 2 years, two playoff appearances, two Heisman Trophy winners.
Pretty good.
Two number one overall picks in the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. Pretty darn good. Turns out that he has a clause in his contract that if he tries to leave for the NFL after 2019, there's a $4.6 million buyout,
yep,
which subsequently drops $1 million a year until 2022.
Okay.
So the question is, if you're an NFL team in need of a head coach after this year, is a $4.6 million buyout scaring you away?
I think the worst thing that you could do is, as any organization, is to allow money to be the motivating, driving force behind a decision. I'm not saying that there aren't circumstances where you have to include it. Of course there are. A small-budget baseball team like the Rays or the A's weren't going to give Giancarlo Stanton $325 million. I mean, although another small market, they did it, that didn't work out, to my point. Yeah. Listen, I don't live in this world of millions upon millions, so I'm coming from the same place most of you are coming from. I don't want it to seem like I'm in my tower of finances, because I'm not. But in the grand scheme of life, $4.6 million is nothing for entities that have it. And if a team wants Lincoln Riley, the team has it because it's the NFL, and every team has it, okay? Lincoln Riley's agency has it. Let's say if the $4.6 million truly was a deterrent, why can't the agency say, you know what? All right, well, to make it happen, just to grease the skids, we'll cut half the check and let's pick the, let's say Pat Shurmur doesn't work out, the Giants, all right? And Giants, you know, whatever. I'm just throwing teams out there. Although the Giants would have the money. Any team that might not have the money, you pay half, I'll pay half from an agency point of view. You want him, he wants you. Let's get it done. What is $4.6 million in 2019 for big business football? The answer is not much. I don't think that's an impediment at all. It looks good. It seems juicy. If he wants out, he's going to get out.
So pump the brakes on Tua Tagovailoa as the number one overall pick. Sounds like Justin Herbert of Oregon has received the highest quarterback rating of a senior quarterback of the past decade.
Okay.
There's a lot of big
names. How many other seniors? You know, most of the guy. Well, Andrew Luck was a senior.
Yes.
Oh, that's Andrew Luck was a senior.
And Andrew Luck, when he came out, it was like a 97, 98. He was, at that time, was the highest rated senior quarterback to come out in
since,
years
since
also.
Since Peyton, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So the word about Herbert, obviously we don't see him as much because Tua does more on national television.
Speak for yourself. I've seen him play a lot. He's been on CBS Sports Network.
I mean the collective we, but just generally speaking, if you're looking at Tua versus Herbert, obviously we have to see what they do this year.
Yep.
But just from what you've seen over the course of their first couple years in college, which one are you going with?
Herbert. Herbert. And you know why? Now, this is not to say that Tua cannot handle this, but I just don't know. I haven't seen. Oh, I mean, listen, the pressure at Alabama is crazy. So I almost don't want to use this as a checkpoint for Herbert and not for Tua. But one thing you cannot discount about this young man playing up at Oregon, he's from there. And he used to sit in that stadium with season tickets to watch the Ducks. Now, imagine the intense... Now, we don't feel it here, but imagine the intense pressure with his entire high school, his entire town, the local boy quarterbacking the Oregon Ducks. And say what you want about Joey Harrington, you know, being a relative stiff in the NFL, and Achilles Smith being a relative stiff in the NFL. Clemens. I mean, there's been a lot of guys who were pretty much stiffs in the NFL from Oregon. But I think it speaks to his ability to compartmentalize the stuff that matters and the stuff that you can control and the stuff you can't. And the outside voices and the outside pressures, being the hometown boy, expected to, because when he went there, they were a little down. You know, it's not like he went riding in, well, we're 11-1, we're 11-0, come on. We're not bludgeoning people the way we used to. We've got to kind of reset and reestablish a little bit. And he's in the middle of doing that. I think it's Herbert. I love this kid. Love him.
One former SEC quarterback, Dak Prescott, has a lot of expectations going into the season. He specifically says his expectations are high. He wants to be one of the best to play the game. And when asked if anything should stop the Cowboys from getting to the Super Bowl, he says only ourselves.
Love it.
So what do you expect from the Cowboys this year?
Well, first of all, I love that sign of leadership. You know, maybe if that was earlier in his career, would have been, I wouldn't have positioned it this way. I still probably would have liked it. But I think by some, he's a little bit too brazen. Who does he think he is coming in here thinking he's going to erase this, futility in terms of reaching and winning the Super Bowl? It's been a long time. Nonsense. You got to embrace that. I think now he understands the NFL. He knows who he is in the NFL. He knows how his skill set translates in the NFL. And he was always a pretty verbal and demonstrative, in a good way, leader, even as a rookie when he came in for Tony. Now he's just feeling himself, and now he's totally in control. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't respect this young man in the locker room. And for him to project this, you know, and speak it into the universe, I love it. It's time. You know, I don't know if it's going to happen, and I'll answer the second part of the question in a moment. But I think for Dak Prescott to say this, the incremental progress, that we always say, put your name on it, that's what you want to hear. Like, I want to hear that from Sam Darnold. Maybe not this summer. It's a little bit early. But, you know, this is year four for Prescott. Certainly going into year three, and hopefully for sure by year four, I want to hear my quarterback singing the same thing. That will tell me that I've got the right guy, and I believe that I do. And I believe that the Cowboys have the right guy. And I didn't always believe that. I've turned on him. I like him. So what do I expect for the Cowboys? Redskins going to have a rough season. Giants, 7-9-ish, maybe 8-8. I don't love the division. Eagles are obviously terrific, or could be. Certainly a playoff team and a puncher's chance to actually get to the Super Bowl. Yeah.
That was Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
I mean, Dallas, you know. And I wouldn't, with Dallas, like, I wouldn't look at the odds for the Super Bowl. There's certain teams that just generate more money, so they've got to kind of position that accordingly. Just in terms of personnel and assuming health, which is pretty dangerous to do in the NFL. Running attack, O-line, his growth, Maury for a full season, defense, pass rush. Cowboys pretty good. Division, not so much. KD and Kyrie still planning to team up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.